Welcome, everybody, to the NPCs Presents Fireside Magic. That's right. It's Travis and Kyle here, and we are going to be hanging out here, just having a casual discussion all while sitting by the fireplace and playing Magic the Gathering. Because we're not all about video games here at the NPCs. We do a lot of other things. I like to build Gundam models, Kyle with his Legos, and of course, Kyle has brought me into the world of Magic the Gathering. So that's an unfortunate thing, looking at all of these cards I have out here on the table now. And of course, as Kyle is digging through my latest picks from March of the Machines? Is that the set?
I'm not certain. This is March of the Machines, and then
Kamigawa.
Kamigawa. This one is. I'm just admiring some of these cards. I'm like, whoa!
It was one booster of Kamigawa, and then two of the March of the Machines.
And you didn't buy a legendary booster or a collector's booster?
They didn't have one. All they had were just straight draft boosters. That was it. Yeah, there's a new card shop in our mall here. And it was just one I had stopped into previously, but they've since moved into a different storefront in the mall. And they've actually built up their collection. Last time I was in, I think the only thing I saw was a Doctor Who set, which whichever number Doctor was the female one. They had her, and then that was really it. Was it the 13th? I don't know. I don't follow Doctor
I think
Who.
It's, yeah, 13. Yeah, 13th, I want to say, because they went back to Tennant for the 14th, and now, I want to say it's 13th.
Okay. So, yeah, that was really all they had, and then majority Pokemon. Well, since they've moved to this new storefront, this is what I was telling Kyle before we started recording, is that about half the store is dedicated to Pokemon cards, but then they've got a good mix of Yu-Gi-Oh cards as well as Magic the Gathering. And so they actually had some boosters there that I wanted to get. They had, I think, some other boosters in that I didn't pick up, but they are expanding, of course. And then one of the things that I asked them about is if they host similar things to compete with, like the other card shop downtown, is are they going to do anything that we'll go with mall hours, like to allow just for free play for Magic or anything else. And they say that what their plan is right now is to host more like tournaments that people want to do themselves. Like they'll offer up the space, but you'll have to be the one to organize it, set your rules and such too. But they also open it up for things like not only Magic, but Pokemon. They even said, hey, if you want to bring your D&D group in here, we've got a private area in the back we set up so you can actually have the door closed in play without the interruption of people coming in and out of the store to buy things. I thought that was kind of neat.
That's way cool.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. And they've definitely put out a lot of effort, I think, to build this up because I can't argue with another card store.
Yeah, and I don't know. Even if they just had a free play area just to go back and for people to, you know, if they bought decks or whatever to try them out, that's pretty cool.
I think they'll allow you to do that. Yeah. I think so, yeah. That would be pretty cool if they did. I didn't ask specifically about that, but I wonder if they would let you. I almost bet they would. They seem to be pretty open to it because I think they're trying to make sure that there's just, you know, some more competition in town.
Right.
Because we've got three card shops downtown, and then, of course, all of the places like Walmart and Target that sell cards. But, yeah, it's nice just to have a place that's not downtown, that's centrally located, you know, being in the mall. So that's the real cool part. But, yeah. So
Charlie finally came around.
Yeah, Charlie. Silly dog. Did he finally? Yeah. So Kyle walks in and Charlie's known Kyle. Kyle's been here plenty of times to play Magic and hang out and that. And he's been fine. But for some reason, Charlie's just been growling like mad as soon as you walk in. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the way I was holding him back so he wouldn't try to like charge at you when you were coming in through the door or anything like that. He just was, a little grumpy there, huh? You're all right. You're okay, Charlie. You're okay. But yeah, the whole point of this podcast here, at least with Fireside Magic, the idea here was just to play Magic the Gathering. And of course, we'll share our decks. I gotta admit, we haven't actually put any of these decks into any of those online card builders, so there's no links in the show notes yet to show like what decks we're playing with. But plan is to play some Magic, see how bad we do here, and then just honestly shoot the shit until, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, you're staring at me all weird. Like, I thought the dog had his nose in your crotch or something. Oh, no, like that. You were just like shocked. Like, what the hell?
No,
he's
just resting his head on my legs. He keeps swapping legs.
Then yeah. Okay, he's finally warmed up to you.
He's warmed up. He's happy.
Oh, what a dork. All right. So, yeah, we are we're going to play some magic here. So, Kyle, why don't you go ahead and tell the lovely audience what your deck consists of, what you've got in it, at least, you know, just as a nice teaser of things, and what your objective with the deck is.
So, this particular deck is, I want to say, a Swamp Forest deck. What was this particular set?
So this is the Lost Caverns of Ixalan, at least is what yours.
Yeah, so this one is actually a full deck of Lost Caverns of Ixalan. Forest, Swamp. My primary card, which I don't have on hand because I've already shuffled the deck and drawn my hand, is actually a demon card that... doubles all my damage. It's kind of tailored around that, but it's definitely one that's supposed to prevent me from losing life. I guess it's definitely a hard-hitting deck, but I can burn creatures more than anything if I need to.
Fair enough. Well, good deal. So mine is also built based on primarily off the Lost Caverns of Ixalan as well, because I am I have a penchant for dinosaurs. And of course, the whole premise behind Lost Caverns of Ixalan is a lot of dinosaur based cards. So, and of course, the tie in with Jurassic Park 2, mm-hmm. which threw me off when I saw it. And I still want that, Ian Malcolm card, but I have yet to find it.
The sexy pose Ian Malcolm.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's the one where he's inside the Ford Explorer, and then there's the sexy pose one.
Yeah,
but I don't have that, so that's okay. But no, mine's a red green, and it primarily is a dinosaur deck. So mine is built to be exactly that. So I've got a lot of powerful dinosaurs in here, especially ones that work off of each other as it relates to, like, dinosaur abilities. So if you have multiple dinosaurs, whether they're in your hand or at least on the playing field itself, they are they can work off of each other to summon special abilities. Like one of them, for example, in my hand or in my deck is Galta, and I think I'm pronouncing his name right. And when he's played, it's like once he comes out onto the field, any dinosaurs that are in your hand can immediately be placed out on the table without any mana needing to be cast for them to come out. So that's why I like this one. But
to be fair, I think that one actually costs an incredible amount of mana to get out.
It's more of like a... Yeah, it's... The way I describe it is it's more like when Captain America is right there at the final battle against Thanos, and then out of nowhere he hears Sam, you know, the Falcon, on your left, and then everybody starts coming in. That's the way I kind of imagine Galta is like... Like Galta is the Falcon that you put down there to bring out everybody to help assist with what you're running into. So,
well, since we're talking specific cards, I'm going
to
find.
I just wanted to point it out, Kyle. Okay.
At least you can remember your card's name. I can't even remember. I'm going to be sad because he was probably at the top of the deck.
By the way, as a note, we are playing Standard. It's only the two of us, so we're not playing Commander.
I'm saved because he was actually at the bottom of the deck. I wouldn't have even got to him. Now I'm going to have to reshuffle anyway. But it's a Bloodletter of
Axolotl.
Yeah, or something like that. He's a vampire demon flying, but if the opponent would lose life during your turn, they lose twice that much life instead. So if you are directly able to target... opponent player, you could potentially do double damage. He's only a 2/4, but that's some major power, especially for any powerhouse deck that's going to be doing direct player damage, because you can end it quick.
That's an ouch for me, especially, so I guess we'll have to see what comes of it. So anyway, yeah, we're playing Standard, and one of the key things, of course, is that Kyle's definitely been into the Magic for a lot longer than I have. I played a little bit back in high school, but I didn't really invest a lot of time or energy into it to truly learn. So I'm only getting back into it over the last couple months. And one of the things, of course, that kind of makes our games take time is that we're trying to memorize and learn better, or at least make sure we know like what the rules are as they relate to the different things on the cards. The
infinitely expanding terminology.
Exactly. Or the fact that it's like one term that might be brand new to this like set or whatever is actually just a renaming for a ability or whatever that's been around for years.
Yeah, since second gen or something.
Exactly. And so we're learning, we're growing, we're trying to figure it out. So don't, you know, don't get upset at us if we're taking a little bit longer here because we're trying to figure out like what does this ability mean here, you know? It's the nature of the beast. That's it.
The beast of nature.
The beast of beasts. The nature of nature. All right, so I'm all shuffled up. I got my hand dealt, and I have a land on the bottom of my deck. So, oh, and I need to bring up the counter here, too. I got to say, like, you know, they've made Magic so much more accessible, I think, from when I was in high school.
And I have a land as well.
Okay, let me check the next one, and then I'll open up the tracking.
For my second one.
You're a land? All right, I am a one, so I guess I go first.
You go first.
That's fine with me. But yeah, they've made this game so much more accessible than when I was a kid, or you know, a kid, high school, whatever you want to call it. That they've made it more open. They've made it easier to understand. I mean, packing the rule set and instructions, at least like an abridged version in with some of these decks is great. Hell, even like the fact that they've got an app that lets you see like what events are going on, but also lets you look at what the cards do, and then also lets you actually track your life in a game too. So like I've got the Magic the Gathering companion app up and we can actually track our life right in it. So it's awesome as we play. So again, playing standard, 60 cards. I got the app going there and I am the first to go. So let's see here what I can do, if anything yet. I can drop a land and that is it for me. You're up, Kyle.
Alrighty.
As you play with your new phone.
Well, I'm trying to look up the dictionary, actually, on the companion app, just so I'm not as much of a fool as normal, even though that I've been playing for years.
Oh, even though, like, compared to me going to Google and typing in the name of something, like name and then MTG to figure out, like, what something
is.
Is
that how you were getting it? I thought it was in the companion app.
No, I literally, because we use it on my phone to be able to track stuff, so I haven't been able to, I'll have to be like, oh, let me just take this and look it up and then get us back to here, you know, to try to figure this out.
So I get to draw. Oh, fantastic.
That's not good.
No, not fantastic. It doesn't do me any good. Cool. Play land and it is your turn, sir.
All right. I will play another land here and draw a card. Oh, cool. All right. And I'm going to go ahead and tap both of those to play a Belligerent Yearling. So this Belligerent Yearling has Trample, and whenever another dinosaur enters the battlefield under your control, you may have Belligerent Yearling's base power become equal to that creature's power till the end of turn. I like that. Again, the goal there, at least, is to just kind of have a deck where the dinosaurs feed off of each other.
Yeah.
So that's one of those neat things. So I've got him set up, and so that's it.
Well, to
me.
Be fair, this is still one of the decks that I constructed as a pull deck when we first bought the...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
This is literally what was comprised of the amount of swamps and, I guess, forests, because it was the highest quantity cards that I had that I could actually make a feasible deck with.
That's right.
So,
yep.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So hopefully I can withstand the actually made dinosaur deck.
There you go.
But
what I'm hoping for, at least with this, is that this being our first recording of this to try out Fireside Magic here is, I guess, to really see if, you know, how things go. And the key thing I want to make clear here is that a couple of these games I've played with Kyle is that I've had very poor draws where I will stack up mana like mad, but will not pull a card to really use with that mana, or vice versa. I'll have a really good hand, but only have like one mana where I can't do anything. And it's despicable how those things happen. I get it. It's luck of the draw when it comes to like the way you're shuffling and that, but Jesus Christ, please just don't let that happen with this game. Don't let this happen with episode one.
So this is an interesting one. I'm going to play another swamp. Tap two. Play Deathcap Marionette. It has Death Touch. It's a 1/1. But it says when Deathcap Marionette enters the battlefield, you may mill two cards. But it doesn't say mill two cards. It says may mill two cards.
Yeah, which we've never really figured out. Like, when we see that, I think for you and I, we made up more of the rule that it says you may, is that you have the option to do so.
Right.
But instead, we've seen cards where it also says you must mill two cards. So we just go off of that fact. So
I'm going to say that I have that option, and I'm not going to mill two cards because, yeah.
I love it. All right, let's go ahead and... Are you done then on your part?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, let's untap that land. I'm going to put down another one. Let's go ahead and draw. Oh, I should have put down the other land. God damn it. All right. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to hold off for now doing anything else. Yeah. All right, so you're up.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Untap.
You know what I got to say is weird right now, Kyle?
What's that?
Is that for, like, the first weekend in the last couple weekends, I haven't actually had to do any home renovations because we got that bedroom finished up. I haven't actually had to just be exhausted doing anything else. It's like we're actually done with something, and it's been nice. Like, I was actually able to sleep in this morning. I woke up feeling great.
Right.
Because, of course, the daughter stayed in her room and watched a movie this morning, so she didn't come running in waking us up. It was glorious. It was like, is this what it feels like for, like, normal people? Is this how Kyle feels every day? Is this what it's like for him to wake up? It was great, dude. To not have to worry about anything today, it was glorious.
I wish.
Yeah, you just get what? You just get attacked by your animals at home.
And right. Shame. Other than the forest, I'm going to...
Hello, Tigger. No, I don't need to do anything for you. You're fine. You've been fed. You don't get fed again until just before bed.
Mm.
You're fine. Do not chew any on my cables, though, or I will turn you into a... I will turn you into... I don't know. You're tiny enough. Maybe I can turn you into a hat. We'll see.
Okay, cool. I'm going to tap my forest and a swamp. I'm going to turn this swamp into a creature for this turn that has haste. It's a 4/4 dinosaur that must be blocked if able, and I'm attacking with him.
And what is he again? What's his...
Well,
he's an instant. He's not actually any... Or does he become a creature, though?
It says, until end of turn, land you control becomes a 4/4 dinosaur creature.
Got it.
With reach and haste. It's still a land. It must be blocked this turn if able.
Okay.
So I'm attacking with him, and I'm attacking with him, but you have to
block. Okay, that's fine. I'll block with the belligerent yearling on him, so that's he's gone. But then that gets rid of that completely. Yeah.
And
then I take
one damage.
One damage. Ow. Ooh. Ah. Ooh. Oh, I've been hit. I don't know.
Just wait.
Adding some dramatic effect. I could also tie my phone in. I've got this other app that's actually made for playing like D&D instead.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got music built into it. So that way, like, you can change the intensity on it when you're just exploring around. Then there's a button to do it into combat. And then it just transitions into the combat music like perfectly.
Cool.
And then when the combat music's done, you can hit a victory music and do that. And then it transitions back just into explore music. I could tie that in too. And we could do that. But that would be... I don't know how much people would like that, especially because I'd forget to hit.
Right.
My ADHD would get in the way to forget to hit buttons. All right. So I took one damage. All right. Let's go ahead and do this then. So I will drop another land, draw a card. Okay. What do I got here? Let's see. All right. So I will go ahead and tap one or these two lands here and play Poison Dart Frog. It's got reach. I can tap him and add one mana of any color or pay two, and Poison Dart Frog gains Death Touch until end of turn. Okay. And yeah, I basically just had to get myself set up for whatever other chaos comes my way.
Cool.
Yeah. Charlie, can you please leave the cat alone? He is not doing anything. If he starts clawing at the curtains, you can definitely get him. What? What are you doing?
Right.
I swear to God,
so
I still don't know what's
up. My turn?
Yes, it's your turn. Sorry.
No,
thought
you're
I said
good.
That.
Untap, untap, untap. Draw a card.
So did you see what the, like, I meant to send you this story because I was going to be curious to know, like, what you thought of it, especially because you worked at GameStop before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at your current pawn shop right now, though, too, you have a bunch of physical video games there. But apparently there's one, like, I can't remember if it's a chain of stores in Europe or something. But
Game.
We talked about one thing in the news a couple weeks ago where Game was, like, considering it. But it sounds like there was a story within the last couple of days that talked about some retailer over there that actually has stopped doing physical games completely.
I had heard that too, that they had already begun the transition like 6 months ago, and they're kind of there already.
Yeah, it seemed like they dumped them because people weren't buying them. But
right,
I wonder how far that's going to go here in the States.
Well, and I kind of wonder about the. The ability to do it within the States too, not simply because the people that like to collect discs and you know, that don't necessarily do the digital downloads, but
yeah,
also there's people where in areas where internet's still a problem. I mean, we've had the discussion over the news multiple times where, you know, you can't connect to the network for an extended amount of time because of data constraints. There's areas that just don't have the networking, so you're either satellite or you're limited to, you know, old school dial up or, you know, something that's inferior to what people are playing on. So
yeah,
I don't know. Well, I think there's still a market out there for physical discs. It might be a misstep still to do it so quickly, but it sounds like Xbox is already moving that direction too with the new Series X that's supposed to be
you're talking the trash can?
Yeah, the trash can.
Instead of being the refrigerator, it's the trash can.
Yeah, the trash can, or people are also calling it a air purifier.
Fair enough.
That one's not supposed to have a disc tray, but I think there's some legitimacy in turning our eyes to the future, to the next gen of consoles,
yeah,
where there probably won't be. I mean, we've been that way with PCs for a long time.
Yeah.
I could see the transition happening now after this generation.
I think so too. I think that things like Game Pass and what PlayStation Plus has evolved to, as well as all of the free games that you get through things like Epic Game Store, for example, or the number of games that are free to play, like, you know, Apex Legends, for example, and of course Warzone, and that have eaten up people's time. It's like buying physical copies of games
mm-hmm.
doesn't make a lot of sense, for at least for that case especially. But I also see the other side of it, though, too, where giving up physical games doesn't make sense, especially when the country doesn't have the same level of internet access like you were talking about across the board. I mean, we live in a pretty good spot where we have the internet, but I work with a guy who lives out in the middle of nowhere. He lives about, I think, 20 or 30 minutes north of here, and he has to use one of those point-to-point antennas on his house to actually talk with one of those towers. It's not cell service, it's specifically point to point internet. And then he has like a Verizon, like MiFi, I think, as a backup in case he needs it.
Oh wow.
And so like he hasn't even considered Starlink because it's like his internet's actually really good with the point to point.
Right.
But you know, you think though, it's like with the way the weather is around here, you imagine that antenna gets bumped just the right way. It's not secured well enough, you know, he could be out.
Very true.
That's a big thing compared to us, where we're wired in for, you know, cable internet and everything seems fine.
Right.
So, all right, what'd you play? Sorry.
So I did tap two. I played a Skullcap Snail. When Skullcap Snail enters the battlefield, target opponent exiles a card from their hand.
Oh, okay. It just says it's just a card?
Yeah, just any card.
Okay, all right, so I will go ahead.
Don't sound too enthused.
All right, so it doesn't say anything to reveal it, but I'll just do it anyway. So I'm going to exile Over the Edge. So that one's a sorcery that destroy target artifact or enchantment, or target creature you control explores, then it explores again. So I'll just exile that one to the great beyond. Okay, all right, so you got that down.
Yep, and I don't know. It's your turn.
Okay. All right. We're just building up. That's perfectly fine.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I'll untap those two land and drop another red here. So I got four red, one green. Draw. And what do we got here? Okay.
With that, though, I mean, there also has been the talk with Best Buy, you know, dumping the physical media for, like, Blu-rays and whatnot. Some stores, even though that Best Buy has said that they're going to continue to carry physical game media, they've already gotten rid of it. The section is already diminished to the point where the Blu-ray section would have been, months before it was relegated to the exile, I guess, you know, not to be carried in store or perhaps maybe by Best Buy at all. I haven't checked their website to see if they carry Blu-rays and whatnot still. I would imagine they still do.
Well, what's funny is that I was in the Best Buy only about, what was it? It was just after Christmas, I think, maybe the beginning of January.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't actually remember seeing Blu-ray movies or any movies of any type around. Like, right. I can't immediately recall in my head as I'm moving around in there seeing any of that. I remember seeing the video game section, but I don't remember seeing any physical media at all, at least as it relates to like movies or like box set TV shows. So I don't remember at all like what's going on, but maybe they did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's like, I didn't see it, that they've already exiled them to the great beyond and that's it, you know, which is kind of sad, but at the same time, we have replaced a lot of stuff. Again, just like with games, we've replaced movies and television show access with streaming. And even with living out in the middle of nowhere, if your internet's not the best, streaming can run. It's those adaptive bit rates. It can run well enough to, you know, get you watching something,
mm-hmm.
you know, out there. Like, you may not be able to stream in 4K, but you might be able to get 1080p, most likely be able to get 720p. So you'll be able to still enjoy content. But
right.
That is a kind of an issue. Live streaming content, though, maybe not so much. But yeah, it's. I just wonder how long it's going to be before Best Buy then decides to pull the plug and remove physical game media, and they just have like digital download cards up, and that's it.
Yeah, I could see the physical game section quickly becoming a Nintendo only section.
Yeah, I think that would be
literally the only reason to carry physical games in my mind is because Nintendo, yeah. I don't see moving away from the physical media because they know about the collectability of their own product. I mean, you think about what they did with specifically Mario 3D All-Stars.
Yeah.
Pulling the plug on that after a year. Well, even announcing that they were creating their own FOMO. And they let people know that's about true. It. So, yeah. But because they're such a big corporation, they can do that.
They really can, yeah. I think you actually have a good point there that they would be the ones not to do it because Microsoft mm-hmm. and Sony have already done their transition to that digital access,
right?
You know, with Game Pass and PlayStation Plus.
Nintendo can't even get their party chat figured out other than having to be connected to a cell phone still.
Still the dumbest thing. I mean, I know they offered it. It's like, hey, that's a cool thing to do, but yeah, not incorporating it is just bizarre. But right. Anyway, so I played a intrepid paleontologist. So when I tap her, I can add one mana of any color, pay two, exile target card from a graveyard. And it goes on to say, you may cast dinosaur creature spells from among cards you owned exiled with Intrepid Paleontologist. If you cast a spell this way, the creature enters the battlefield with a finality counter on it. So finality counter says here, if a creature with finality counter on it would die, exile it instead. So it seems like I have the ability to bring that dinosaur back that I exiled, potentially without even paying the mana cost on it, be able to play it. But then once it takes its damage and is killed effectively, then mm-hmm. it gets exiled, I guess, permanently, you know, or at least I guess until what I like, play it again then, you know. it almost seems like I could just pay it back and forth. I don't know. Anyway, okay, so we're good there. I'm going to tap two red, and I'm going to attack with Poison Dart Frog, but with the tapping two, that gives him the death touch until end of turn.
Cool. Well,
do you want to just take the one, or do you want to lose one of these creatures here? Well, actually, in reality, it wouldn't matter because they're 1/1s anyway. So.
Yeah, they would shouldn't have done both it. Die.
Doesn't matter because I'll just get that so back anyway.
I'm going to go ahead and block it. And
okay, it would have died anyway. I've got different glasses on today, and so I couldn't really tell if that card was another color. All right, so you took that. All right, and so Poison Dart Frog's basically gone too. So that's garbage. Why'd I do that? I'm a dumb. Okay. That's, whatever. That's it for me. All right. You're up.
Okie dokie. Cool. So untap.
I was glad that Hobby Lobby didn't have their 40% off of boxed model kits today.
Oh, geez.
They had a Endless Waltz Wing Gundam Zero Master Grade. In stock.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the Verka version in there. Yeah, and normal, it's $85.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish they had their 40% off this week.
Play the swamp, and I'm going
to... That would have been dangerous, because I have a problem. I did work a little bit on Unicorn, though, today. I got his waist mostly done. I just need to get the panel lining cleaned up and then get get the labels done. I don't want to do labels anymore. I'm so tired of labels, Kyle.
I guess I'm going to
concede and let me win. You're just gonna oh well, it was worth
but
a shot,
I'm gonna
folks.
Play one of your favorite cards.
Damn.
Tap two and play the Basking Capybara.
Yeah, I still don't know why I like that card so much. I mean, it's not even the abilities. It's just he looks like he's so comfortable in that picture, and now I've got the artwork of it downstairs.
And I'm going to attack for one.
Okay, then I will block. And does this one have Death Touch on it?
It does.
Okay, that's fine. All right, so they're both gone then. So in trouble. Cool. Yeah, I just went. Okay. Is that all you got, Chief?
That's all I got.
Okay. Your other one didn't have Trample, though, did it? The one that just went down? It didn't have just Death Touch?
No, just Death Touch.
Okay.
But it was only a 1/1 anyway.
That's fine. I was just making sure more for, like, given these most of these dinosaur cards have Trample on them, I wasn't sure if maybe Trample would have carried over to any of the blacks that came out of the Lost Caverns set.
Oh, I got you.
That was it.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Oh, did you, I do have to ask, did you see I think it was a microbiologist that got Doom running on a single cell organism?
Oh, yes, I saw that.
But it has to be literally the worst version of Doom ever, operating at one frame every 9 hours.
Doesn't matter. They still got it working.
They did get it working.
Yeah,
it's just cool that they got it. It's on an organism.
Yeah. I didn't draw anything I could play this turn, so you're up.
Okay.
So yeah, I saw they did that, and I was like, I remember reading the news story, and I'm like, are you kidding me? But at the same time, I'm also like, good for them. You know, like good for them. Like it was at least something that does follow along. It's not the can it run Crisis? No, it was literally Doom, like anything else is. So good for them for that, but at the same time, I still just roll my eyes. Like, you know, I'd like to see them do it with let's go to CERN and let's see what happens. Can we get the particle accelerator going enough to actually play the Doom theme song then? You know, the original Doom theme just right there. If we could do that, that'd be cool too. But I don't know.
So I'm going to tap four and play the Chupacabra Echo. He has a Fathomless Descent. When he enters the battlefield, target creature an opponent controls gets -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of permanent cards in your graveyard, but that doesn't affect you because you don't have any creatures.
I have nothing out on the board right now.
So aside from that, I'm going to attack with the Capybara, so you take one damage.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. All right, let's make this happen then. All right. Oh, cool. Thank you, Mana Gods. I appreciate you for that one. So, all right. So I'm going to play all of this, and I'm going to put down Trumpeting Carnosaur. So he's got Trample, and when he enters the battlefield, I discover 5. I can also pay 2 and a red and discard Trumpeting Carnosaur. It deals 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker, but I'm not going to get rid of this one yet. So what was Discover again? Is I just go through the first 5 and it's like I have to find a, like it's a non-land or something I think that I find that's equal to or less than the mana there. I can't remember.
Yeah.
You have the dictionary up there. You look, okay?
Actually, I couldn't find the dictionary, so I'm going to...
Just do what I do. Yep. Discover MTG on Google. Yeah. Well, while you're looking at that...
Keyword introduced in Lost Caverns. Discover exile cards from the top of your library until you... Oh. Here we go. So it...
What do you got? Tell us.
So... Exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card with a mana value of the equal to or, I guess, equal to that.
Exile until, and then what? Does that one go into my hand?
In without paying, what? Oh, this ad keeps popping up. Okay. Allow a player to cast a random spell for free. Discover exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card with a mana value of N or less.
And N equals probably the...
The number of your mana. So I guess it can be 6 or less.
So and then that one just... Exiles then, and that's it, or do I put that into my hand?
I think that part. It's either play it. I believe you play it or put it in your hand.
Yeah. Because I can't even remember. Oh my god, what are you doing to me here, phone? Come on.
Cast it without paying its mana cost, or put it into your hand. Put the rest of the cards. Put the rest of the bottom in a random order. Oh, so the cards do go back. What?
Right?
It says exile, though.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, so let's see here. So just I'm going to look it up, too, because I want to read this here, too. Don't worry, Kyle. I'm in the same boat as you right now, because I'm also as confused as can be. There we go. To discover X means exile cards from the top of your hand until you exile a non-land card with mana value X or less. Cast it without paying its mana cost or put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom in a random order. Okay.
Oh, okay, so they don't get exiled?
Yeah, it seems like it's... Yeah.
That's confusing.
Yeah, the other exiled cards are randomly put... Okay, so it's like I exile until then. And so it's like... But it says to do it for 5, but it's like I've got, like, if I do the top one here, it's less than that mana value there, though. So it's like, do I just stop at the 1 even though it says discover 5? Or do I go all the way through to the 5, and then as soon as I get to the 5th one, that should be the one that I...
I think it's, you can, it's up to the 5. So if, maybe if you don't discover in those first 5, then you exile them. I don't know.
You just put them into your, yeah, okay. Well, if that's the case, then like literally, it would just be this first one then that gets played.
Oh,
which would then be Scytheclaw Raptor because it's a 2 and a red, so it's less than that, right?
I'm gonna begin losing. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to figure it out too.
It is less than that, so yes.
Yeah, it's like, and I didn't have to exile any others.
I'm just stating the obvious.
I know. Well, you're this like, I know. This is where it's like I'm talking about, folks. Is that we are. Learning as we go. We're trying to figure out what the hell we're doing. So that way when we do get the courage to actually go play one of these Friday night magic events or something like that, or play against people that aren't us, that we don't come across as idiots. You know? But I think most of the card shops here in town anyway, they like I'd say about probably 80% of the people I've heard are actually pretty respectful and will help you through just about anything that's going on. So I'm not too concerned, but at the same time, you never know when you're going to land that asshole that you play against.
Okay.
So all right, so I'm done then. That's it.
Yeah. Draw land. Ah, yes. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did you find something that's not worthwhile? Or
it has to come into the battlefield tab.
So oh, yeah. That,
this turn.
Yeah, hidden nursery. Yeah.
I am, however... Yeah. Yeah. I've got to do this.
You got to, or you have like no choice.
I've got to. Tap a swamp, and I'm going to enchant your raptor with some dead weight. So he's a -2/-2, or he gets -2/-2. So he becomes a 2/1.
Yes, he does. Okay. All right, fair enough. Good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then I guess that is it for me.
Okay. Well, screw you, first off.
I hate that card. Yeah, I know.
I hate it when that one comes out. All right, let's see here. Okay. Oh, I forgot. I accidentally locked my phone. You're supposed to be on the camera. Well, because I was looking up the Magic the Gathering stuff, too, because I wanted to see like what else Discover might have been talked about there. So, okay. So, I am going to... what is that? I need to tap 1, 2, 3, 4. Tap 5 and play Panicked... what is that? Panicked Altasaur. So, he's got Reach. And when you tap Panicked Altasaur, deals 2 damage to each opponent.
Dang.
Isn't that great?
I don't like you.
So the thing is that, well, this makes me wonder then, is that can I tap him, even though he's got summoning sickness, like I can tap him and I can't like use him for attacking purposes then, but can I just tap him to be able to deal just the 2 damage then in that, at that point in time?
So is it an effect of a spell?
It's just tap. It's just you tap it and then panic out the source.
If it's an effect of a spell or used as a spell effect, I believe you can activate it.
Yeah, but it just wouldn't get its summoning sickness. Like, it wouldn't bypass summoning sickness. You would take the 2. You or a creature wouldn't take the 4.
Yeah, because you're playing it as a spell.
That's exactly what I... Okay.
You're tapping it as a spell, so... but... I don't know. Ooh. I think it might, because technically you would still have to tap it for the effect of a spell, and summoning sickness prevents it from tapping.
Hmm. I thought summoning sickness was more just specific for tapping it based on actual doing, like, for regular attack purposes, not necessarily the spell portion.
This is a really good question, actually.
Right. Well, it's more of the concept is, like, can it be played to at least do that damage, but, you know, it's not worried about the other stuff. I wonder, yeah, I wonder if that's the case while you look that up. And while he's looking that up, I want everybody to ponder...
A creature with summoning sickness is neither able to attack nor use tap abilities.
Mm.
So
we got our answer, so it just sits there and looks pretty. Got cool. It. Okay. Okay. Well, while I tap Trumpet and Carnosaur and Scytheclaw Raptor...
And I take...
So that's 7, and you brought him down to a -2 there, so that's 7, 9 damage. So...
9 damage.
Yeah.
He's a 2...
So he's a 2/1 now.
Okay, so I'm going to block him with the capybara.
Okay, so then he's 2-1.
No, they're still both alive.
No, because he's a 2-1 now, and so if he does 1, they're both gone because his block ability is only a 1 now.
But he's a 1/3.
Oh, so then he's gone.
Oh.
Capybara's still alive.
Yeah, and then I will take the, 6 damage?
Yeah, because you're...
7 damage? Is it 7?
Yeah, because if you're not going to do anything with him, then yeah, you'll take 7. Yeah, so... Aw, Scytheclaw Raptor. That's okay. You're a good card.
That's okay. I'm going to fix this.
Jesus Christ. All right, you're up, though.
Okay.
But anyway, as you're doing that, I want everybody to ponder, though, the recent mystery that came to light here, at least in regards to Amelia Earhart, because my daughter's obsessed with Amelia Earhart right now.
Mystery?
Well, so apparently some group thinks they found her plane.
Really?
Yeah, some group thinks that they found her plane. There's some sort of, like, deep sea explorers in that, using all the different, like, sonar scanning techs where they drop, like, the probes off the back of the boat and let it go around looking for stuff. They think they found her plane. Because she was in the Atlantic, excuse me, for the life of me, is where she went. Like, I thought she went down somewhere near the Bermuda Triangle and that. But no, apparently she went down in the Atlantic somewhere based on, like, the stuff I was looking at today. Yeah. Like, she had come off of the coast of Fiji, I think, or something like that. And that's where she got lost somewhere. I don't know. But regardless of that, they think they found it. Because what they're saying is they're going off of other transponder and radio logs that they've come across that were from her before she disappeared that hadn't been, like, I guess, fully published or something like that, or they're going through and looking and identifying these other things.
Interesting.
But then they found this in their scan, they found something that looks like the shape of a plane. But I don't know if they're going to send anything down to go actually, like, you know, look at it to figure out if it actually is her plane or not. I don't know. But yeah, mysteries of 2024.
Hmm. Yeah, that is really interesting.
I thought I'd share that one because, yeah, again, Amelia Earhart's been the big thing in the house for the last week. Not even with that, just something my daughter learned at school. And so she's just been obsessed with her.
So this is a crazy thing to do. I'm going to tap all my land and play Runaway Boulder artifact. I'm going to deal 6 damage to him.
Aw, that's rude. That was uncalled for.
When Runaway Boulder enters the battlefield, it deals 6 damage to target creature and opponent controls.
Aw, Trumpeting Carnosaur.
I can't take that 7 damage again. I can't do it.
Well, you can't. You got 13 left.
I can't do it.
Oh, stop being a baby. You'd be fine. You'd be okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Is that all you're doing then now? Or are you going to play these?
He doesn't have trample, does he?
Which one?
Right?
Yeah, he only has reach.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Good. Good. yeah, that's my turn.
Oh, fine. And let's see here. I will play these two and these two, and I got another dinosaur to put down, the Colossodactyl that has reach and trample.
Jeez,
with a 4/5, yes. Okay, so.
Of course, I say, oh, he doesn't have trample, does he? No, but this one does.
Most of these dinosaurs do, which is great. Most, not all of them. Like the Panicked Altasaur only has reach, but I'm going to go ahead and tap Panicked Altasaur, and he immediately deals 2 damage to each opponent, so you take another 2.
God.
But then also he's attacking now for 4.
Wait, hold up. I think that's...
Or is it because of the spell, I can only do one or the other? Because I'm fine either way.
It's one or the other.
Fine, then I'm fine just doing the 2 then to you. Okay, there, you take it, and he doesn't deal any other damage to anybody else.
That's fine.
Sure, it exposes me, but at the same time, it doesn't matter right
now.
Does
it, though? Because you can still defend next turn.
Yes. Okay, I can do that, but it's okay. We're good. You're fine.
Okay. All right.
Do what you do best.
I had to say, play with your strongest deck.
I mean, I don't know if this is my strong. Well, it probably is. I don't know.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. Okay. Sorry, I haven't had the time to sit here. Like, I don't have just the time to sit around off to the side and just build decks. Like, I generally only build when you're over here to play. That's it. I don't have I think the patience to do it. I think it's because you're here and I can bounce cards off of you.
Oh yeah.
Versus with the wife doing her own thing. She doesn't play Magic. Some of these cards are my oldest kids and he doesn't really play much either. But you know, it's like I don't have anybody to bounce ideas off of. Although, I mean, there were a couple that I learned from some of my coworkers, too, which I hang out with and work with a bunch of nerds. me being one of them as well. I fully admit to it. But that's all right. What do you got? You don't seem impressed. You're just so lost at looking at this card.
I want to say surveil is when you look through your deck, isn't it?
I think so, and then you have to shuffle again. But take a look. Take a look on your fancy schmancy new phone.
Yeah. It's like the same phone.
Dude, okay. We were talking about the Vision Pro the other day, right? Apple's new headset.
Right.
Were we? Yeah. I know you're looking at stuff too, so I don't expect you to be listening as well.
Yeah, no, we were.
So I have seen nonstop videos of people catching people wearing the Vision Pro doing really stupid things. More specifically, driving their vehicles while wearing the headset.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and if you want to know like actual like insane levels of toolness, I suppose, if you want to put it that way, one that my wife found that she showed me was a guy who was driving his Cybertruck wearing one.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like if you want to know a level of douchebaggery that like you knew existed somewhere but you hadn't seen it, that was it. But yeah, he's actually like sitting there. He's using an autopilot or whatever, and he's actually manipulating things on the Vision Pro while he's, you know, driving. It's or driving, quote unquote. It's so weird.
That's terrifying.
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I hope Apple puts in something there that actually like limits that, you know.
So I'm going to tap those and tap that and play Starving Revenant. I have to surveil too. So what it is you look at the top however many cards on your library and then put them back in whatever order. However, this surveil comes with a caveat that when Starving Revenant enters the battlefield, surveil two.
Yeah.
Then for each card you put into the top of your library, you draw a card. So I basically draw that card immediately.
Oh.
And I lose three life. So I'm setting myself up for failure here.
And you were worried about my 7/6 Carnosaur doing damage to you when you're doing it yourself, masochist. You know, I guess you gotta spend money to make money, right?
You know, I'm gonna just discard him because I don't wanna.
You gotta take your damage.
I'm not gonna take the damage. I'm not doing it.
Oh, you have okay. So you get a choice then.
Yeah, I can discard them, or I can put them on the top of my deck and draw them immediately. But then I have to take three damage a piece.
Oh,
for each one I put at the top of my library.
That makes sense. Then on the spend money, make money part. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, do you think you're done doing what you're doing, or are you gonna come in like guns ablaze in here right now?
Well, it's not going to do me any good. The most I'm going to do is like one damage. Because you're going to kill my Chupacabra. I think I'll hold off.
Okay.
I think I'll hold off.
Fair enough. All right. I'll take this as my turn then. So I'll untap all that land, untap the Altasaur, draw a card. Hey, cool. Works for me. Play that land. Tap those three then, and I'm going to play Thrashing Brontodon, another dinosaur.
Oh, God.
So it's a 3/4, and I could pay one and sacrifice it and destroy a target artifact or enchantment. So I'm going to go ahead and, well, how does that work with your artifact here, for example, the boulder? Because it's an artifact, you've already played it. How do you get to play it again? Do you have to tap something to be able to actually play it again to
this
cause
one,
the damage?
I tap two. The only other thing that it has is cycling. I tap two, and I discard this card, and draw a card.
So does it have the okay? So it doesn't have the ability though to cause me. Like another like 6 or 7 damage. Then basically
it was
just
a one
playing
time.
The one. Yep. Okay. So for everything else that's on there, it gives you a small benefit, but nothing that's going to decimate me again.
Right.
Only upon initial play. Okay. Very good, because that would have sucked. Okay. So with that said, then I will go ahead and tap Colossidactyl and Panicked Altasaur for a total of 8.
8.
And no, I'm not doing a spell one there where he deals 2 damage. So Decisions. Do.
Okay.
Trying to figure out how you can do this. The infamous Kyle stares at the cards on the field, trying to figure out exactly how to save himself from the chaos.
And he has reach and trample?
Reach and trample, yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'm going to... Guess I will block him with these two.
Okay.
I want to divide it up with Capybara taking the three, him taking the one.
Okay.
So he's gone and my Capybara is gone.
Okay.
And then I'm going to block your other dude with my Chupacabra.
Okay.
And my Chupacabra is gone.
Okay. Yep, so you don't take any damage then for that one.
Oh, dear.
Okay, well.
I also have no hand.
No, so, me either. I am pretty clean here on that one.
Yeah, but I only have one creature on the field, so.
That's also true. So, all right, you're up.
Untap.
Bet you draw a land.
No.
I was like, man, that would be awesome.
But I am going to tap two.
Tap two.
Discard my boulder. Draw a card. Okay.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You don't seem very excited looking at these.
Cool.
You got this.
Oh, I do now.
I'm in danger.
Tap my two forests and a swamp, and then I'm going to play my poison dart frog.
Oh, yeah. That's a yep.
And then I'm going to play the Cenote Scout. And Cenote Scout, I get to explore.
Okay.
I have to reveal the card. If it's a land, you know the deal. If it's not a land.
Yep.
So he gets a 1/1 counter.
Very good. Cool.
Cool.
All right, you just going to build up your army here against me then, or are you going to actually try to attack?
He's a 3/4?
3/4, yeah. And then, well, I mean, he's tapped already, so
okay,
he can't block
it. Okay, so him. Then I'm going to attack for 4.
Okay, all right. So he's attacking then for the... So he's doing the 3. What is...
He's a 4/4.
He's a 4/4? Okay, all right. So he doesn't take any of that. All right. No problem. Thrashing Brontodon. We salute you. Okay. All right. So you're done, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I'll untap all that and draw a card. And let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Okay. What's a permanent? Is that like a permanent would be one of these creatures out
right,
on the field,
that'd be
right?
A creature. I believe an enchantment counts as a permanent as well.
Okay. All right.
So it's something that would stay on the field that's not mana.
Okay. I'm going to hold on to this then for now and not do anything yet.
Okay.
So it's now your turn.
Okay.
I've only got the one card. That's why I'm kind of worried about pulling it, like using it too
untap,
early.
Untap.
Aha! You've activated my trap card. I summon Exodia. Oh, wrong game. Sorry, folks. Please don't unsubscribe. Oh, my goodness. What are you thinking? I know, decisions. Okay, so I guess we'll just have to remember that for next time that we hit a segment portion there. So apparently Spotify for podcasters can only record up to the 60-minute point. So I don't know exactly how much was lost.
So that's fun. I don't think it was much last time.
I don't think it was based on what I saw there. I think maybe we'll see what happens. We'll see.
So I guess I'm going to, since it is my turn, I'm going to pay the two for the poison dart frog to have poison touch, or the
death touch.
Death touch.
Got it.
And then I'm going to attack for 2, 3, and 7.
Okay. All right. Then let's see here. I will block this one here with the panicked Altasaur.
Okay. I'm going to turn him to a -5/-5 for your block.
You're a dick. 5. He's gone then, and that means I only take
3.
Damn it. All right. 5. You done?
Yep, I'm done.
Thank God at least you got that card out of the way then.
Yep.
All right.
I certainly did.
Okay. All right. This is funny here too. Okay. Okay. So,
actually, what's funny is technically, if I would have been paying attention, I believe he was supposed to get a -10/-10. Oh no! I was one permanent short in my graveyard.
You know what, Kyle? You know what, Kyle?
One permanent short.
Kyle, guess what? Guess what? He's back. Panned all the sword. Oh God! So again? I got 2 in my deck. I got 2 of them in my deck. Yes, that's right. Panicked Altasaur's back. Well, it's a different one, but yes, he's back again. All right.
This one's shiny.
This is a shiny
Pokemon.
One.
Yes.
He's like,
we gotta or be a careful. Pal.
Careful. You never know if Nintendo's lawyers
are
going to kick
it. I can't be comparing the two.
Apparently, so I'm done with my turn, but did you hear, though, that
untapping.
Apparently some agents for Japanese celebrities have been telling their these celebrities and that to refrain from talking about PAL World.
Really?
In any way, shape, or form. Yes, because with how much Pokemon is ingrained into Japanese life anyway for everything that goes on and how many cross collaborations there are with things,
mm-hmm.
they're worried about the possibility of the underlying consequences that could come with making mention of it at all in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
So they've basically made it clear, hey, don't this doesn't exist. Don't even do it. So, okay. All right. You got to land. All right.
Yep. Playing one swamp.
All right.
Since that's all that's in my hand right now.
Fair enough.
And then I guess I'm going to attack with all 3 again.
Cool. Then I'll block him so he's gone
okay,
now,
he
so I don't get
gone.
Hurt now.
He is gone.
Thank you. And I take 3.
You take 3.
Okay, I'm down to okay. So I'm at 12. Kyle's at 11. All right.
For now.
For now. Take it something. Yeah,
well, until life. You get something, it's anyone's game at this point.
Yeah. All right. Cool. You know what? Let's see. Where are you at? You're at. Hold on a minute. What do I got here? So hold on. So that's 6, 7. And what do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This was a fun game, Kyle. Unfortunately, I'm going to do this really quick here, okay? I'm going to give Panicked Altasaur staggering size, which gives him 3/3, and he gains trample until the end of turn. I think it's like your stuff is currently all tapped right now,
mm-hmm.
so that trample part wouldn't necessarily matter. However, I'm going to go ahead and play the rest of my mana here for Fiery Emancipation. And this enchantment, Kyle, we're going to call this game over here because if a source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals triple that damage to that permanent or player instead, which means you take 27 damage in one hit.
What?
So 4 plus 3, that's 7, times 3 is 21.
Wow. That's a new one. I haven't seen that one before.
That one generally doesn't make it into my hand.
Oh.
Or it's one of those ones where we've been playing and I have to discard because I can't keep drawing
so
more.
So he has that exact ability as the demon in this deck. Wow.
Okay. Kyle just took 21, so Kyle is currently at -10, and I have won in our first episode of Fireside Magic. But that's it then for this first episode, because the way we're going to be handling this is that we are going to be basically playing a game every episode. So that way we, have some content here instead of stacking all this stuff up. But cool part is that based on how things look, we're going to, carry on with this and see how things go. So if you like what you're listening to here, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform of choice. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, we're probably on it. Of course, if you're not sure where to find us at, you can go check us out on our homepage. The link still does work. It's anchor.fm/the-npcs-podcast. Just look for the Fireside Magic episode, or of course, any of our other episodes in our back catalog, and listen along to your heart's content. Thanks, everybody, for checking out this new one with us, and we'll catch you all next time.
Laters.